We're going to get started now on the Tawheed class. And today we're going to continue with the topic of innovation. What is innovation? Again, every Muslim should be aware of what bid'ah is, so every Muslim can in turn stay away from it. And today what we're going to do is talk about how innovation corrupts and destroys the sunnah. And we're also going to talk about some things, some actual actions that Muslims engage in, which they think that they're getting closer to Allah for doing so, but in reality they are innovating. Okay, but before we begin, let me ask you some questions from yesterday's lecture. Hold on, let me get my questions here. Okay, who can tell me what, when we talk about bid'ah, when you hear this Arabic term again known as bid'ah, what does it imply? What does it mean? What are we talking about? When we say that we are not supposed to indulge in bid'ah, indulge in innovation, what does this mean? What types of innovation? What is this that we're talking about? Who can remember? Okay, addition of what? When we talk about how we are not supposed to indulge in bid'ah or innovation, what does this mean? Innovations of what? Okay, very good. It means to add something to this religion, to introduce or delete. It can mean take away too, not just adding something, but taking away too. It means to introduce something new into this religion of ours. So when we're talking about bid'ah, we're not talking about driving a car. We're not talking about using a washing machine. We're not talking about eating with a fork and a spoon instead of your fingers. We're talking about introducing something new into this religion of ours that was not introduced by Allah or His Messenger. We also talked about the different causes of innovation. Who can remember what are some of the different causes of innovation? What are the different causes of innovation? Very good. One of the main causes of innovation is ignorance. The reality is the average Muslim is just ignorant of their religion. And because they're ignorant of their religion, they don't know what an innovative act is and what an innovative act is not, because they're ignorant. Okay, what's another cause of innovation? Very good. Blind following. Blindly following someone else. This is another cause of innovation. What's more? Very good. Imitating the kafir. And this is another thing. This is a serious problem. And we talked about how, for example, Ramadan is becoming, there's many innovative acts being introduced into Ramadan because people are trying to be like the kafir. They're trying to make a party out of something with these Ramadan lights and Ramadan trees and Ramadan cookies and all this other crazy, idiotic garbage that people are indulging in. Very good. Another cause of innovation is people are busy following their own desires instead of following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're following their own desires. So those are the reasons, the causes for innovation. Okay, this is why so many people innovate, from those, one of those reasons. And let's see, the last question from yesterday is, who can tell me which does Shaitan love the most? Does he love innovation or does he love for a person to sin? Which one does he love the most? Very good. Shaitan loves for a person to innovate. He'd rather see a person indulge in innovation. And who can tell me why is it? Why is it that Shaitan loves to see a person innovate more than he does to see them sin? Why is it? Who can remember? Yeah, all of that is true, but what else? What's the main reason? What is the main reason why Shaitan loves innovation more than he does a person committing sin? Very good. The reason why is because of the repentance factor. When a person commits a sin, they usually know that it's wrong, and they can therefore seek repentance and be forgiven for that. But most people who innovate, they don't see anything wrong with it. They don't look at this as being anything bad. So therefore, they never go about seeking repentance from it. So that's the main reason why Shaitan loves a person who innovates more than he does one who sins, because there's always that possibility that that sinner may recant his sin and repent. Whereas the innovator innovates trying to get close to Allah, and many times is not even aware that he's committing anything wrong. Okay, so basically that's what we discussed yesterday. And today I want to continue on now by speaking more about how innovation corrupts the sunnah. Okay. And by the way, guys, the Muslims should start looking for the moon tonight. So we will know by tonight, inshallah, whether or not Ramadan, whether or not we fast another day or not. So the Muslims should start looking for the sighting of the moon tonight, inshallah. Okay, anyway, let's get started here. Now, we are taught as Muslims that the sunnah shall become corrupted, and this corruption will become the norm or the normal custom, so much so that the people who follow the sunnah will become as strangers, and those who call the people to the sunnah will be slandered and hated. And I'm a witness to this, that this is happening today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam began as something strange, and it shall return as something strange just as it had begun. And someone asked the Prophet, who are the strangers? The Prophet said, those people that stick to the sunnah and corrupt and correct what others have corrupted of my sunnah. They are the ones who be reviewed as strange. And this is so true. I can use myself as an example. The people slander. The people will be so far away from practicing Islam and its truthfulness that when they do come across a person who is direct and honest and who does speak the truth about this religion, they look at that person as being strange. They look at that person as being harsh. And they slander that person, even though they don't even know them. Just like they do the people here at this website. There's a lot of people who have made websites, posted up my name and the name of our website, called us innovators, slander and say horrible, horrible, vicious things about me when these people have never in their lives laid eyes on me, and they wouldn't even know me if they passed me on the street. We got people who sit around and indulge in slandering people like Sheikh Atlee and others who have devoted their lives to preaching Islam and its truthfulness based on the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. So that's what's meant by that hadith when the Prophet talks about Islam becoming strange. What that means is the people will no longer be following the sunnah. They'll be following the ways of innovation. They'll be following ignorant leaders. And those few people who are truly on the right path, who are truly preaching the right Islam, they view them as being strange and get slandered. You look at this internet, how this internet has become a horrible medium. You got literally millions. There are literally millions of so-called Islam chat rooms on the internet. You go to those so-called Islam chat rooms, you find hundreds of people sitting in those rooms, indulging in all types of sins. Hundreds of people who join calling themselves teaching or giving dawah, teaching you about Islam, but in reality they're teaching you something wrong or incorrect about this religion. Yet their chat rooms are filled with hundreds of people. And then you come to our website, which is the only one of its kind, and you find maybe 20 or 30 people sitting here. Okay? So this is all a sign of what this hadith means. Okay? Islam will become strange because the people will be so far away from the sunnah, and they will view anyone who preaches the truth about Islam, the person who truly tries to call you back to the sunnah, this person will be regarded as being strange and harsh and mean, and people will resort to slandering them and hating them. Okay? Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, states that he remembers how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the following statement. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "How will it be when the trials overcome you, in which the young grow old and the old grow senile, and the people will take the innovation as the sunnah, and when it changes they will say that the sunnah has changed?" Now this has happened today. Look how many women in so-called Islamic countries no longer wear hijab. You go to some of these so-called Muslim countries, such as Kuwait, such as the Emirates, or even Egypt, you will find many of the women do not wear hijab anymore. In fact, they say that the statistics are so high in Kuwait, they say 50% of the women in Kuwait no longer wear hijab. That's how bad it is, they say, in Kuwait. 50% of the people do not even wear hijab or dress as Muslims. And they will tell you that things have changed, that it's changed now, that the verses of hijab and stuff came about years ago, but times have changed. And this is what you'll find in Egypt too. A lot of women who don't wear hijab, who don't cover up, and they say, "Oh, things have changed." Or you'll go to Jordan, and you look at the Queen of Jordan herself, standing there on national TV, with no hijab on, short skirt on, makeup, perfume, hair flowing down. And she gives a statement that Islam has changed. That those ayats were from the olden days. So this is an example of what this hadith is referring to, as to what this hadith is talking about. People will be so far away from practicing Islam in its truthfulness, and they will sit there and say that Islam has changed, the sunnah has changed, that it is now lawful to do these haram things. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "This will occur. This will occur when your speakers become many and your scholars become few and the wealthy become plenty and the truthful become few." And again, this is what we see today. Look how many speakers there are about Islam. You can log on to the internet and you will find literally thousands of lectures given by this person, that person, this person who claims to be a scholar, this person claims to be this. But in reality, these people are not scholars of Islam. They're just good speakers. And the people are so stupid and so ignorant of their religion that you'll go around and give the title of sheikh to anyone. Anyone. And this is what made me mad at this website, too, a few weeks ago with that woman who I need to ban if she comes back here. This woman sat here in our website, broke the rules by giving her email address to one of our teachers, begging this teacher, telling this teacher how she has no husband, saying lies such as there are no Muslims where she lives at. She's the only Muslim where she lives. There are no Muslim men. She can't find a husband. When the moderators here told her, I still have the log, they told her that what she was doing was wrong. She's breaking the rules of the website. She ignored them. And she started calling our teacher a sheikh. Oh, this sheikh asked me for my email address. Sheikh so-and-so asking me. She got to using this term, sheikh. And this brother, alhamdulillah, this is what made him so upset. He's not a scholar and he never claimed to be. He's just a teacher here at the website. But we sit around and start throwing these terms, calling this person and that person a scholar, a sheikh, a muhadith, and an this and that, or whatever. Okay? So this is an example of what the Prophet meant, that when these times occur, when the people, when Islam begins to become strange, you will find many speakers, but your scholars will be few. People will be running around referring to people to be as being scholars who are not. People will be using this title, everybody's a sheikh, when in reality they're not. The true scholars of this religion, guys, are few. The true scholars of this religion are few indeed. But we do find many, many, many good speakers. Many, 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 many people who can sit on the internet and give a dynamic lecture. Many people who can travel to your city and the next city and the next city and the next city, even during the most sacred times of the year for us as Muslims, and give all these lectures. But they're in reality just good speakers, because if they were true scholars, they would recognize the importance and the sacredness of some certain times of the year for Muslims. And they would utilize that time appropriately by getting close to Allah and etc. So we have to really be careful of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us these things, and we need to take heed to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us. Because as we can see, so many people today are engrossed in innovation. So many people today are away from the sunnah. And once these signs begin to emerge, it becomes clear. It becomes clear that we are getting closer and closer to the last hour. So thus, a lot of people will then ask the question, okay, well, what is the cure for this? What is the cure for the people being away from the sunnah? What is the cure of bid'ah? How do we alleviate ourselves of this infectious disease known as innovation? Well, the cure for this has been specified by Allah in the Quran and by the Prophet in the Sunnah. Remember, Islam is complete, guys. Allah has completed our religion. He's told us all that we need to know about Islam. He's told us the dangers of things, the causes of things, and He's even given us the cure. For example, Allah says in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, He said, say, and verily this is my straight path, so follow it, and follow not other paths, for they will separate you away from the right path. Also Allah says, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example to follow. So follow him, for he who follows him in hopes of meeting with Allah on the day of judgment, and he who remembers Allah much. So here Allah is telling us in these two beautiful verses that the cure for innovation, the way to not be caught up into this sickness, is to simply follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad. Stick to his sunnah. Stick to the Quran and sunnah, and then you will not become a victim of innovation. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us what to do to cure ourselves of innovation. He said, I have left behind me two things. Two things. And if you cling to them, you will never go astray. And those two things are the Book of Allah, which is the Quran, and my Sunnah, which is the Prophet's Hadith, his examples. So this is the way to cure ourselves from this. It's so simple. We had a person join the website last week and asked a question. They said, Sister Layla, how do we differentiate between all these innovations? People are innovating with the e-prayer. They're innovating with fasting. How do we know what to do and what not to do? It's simple. Stick to the sunnah. Stick to the what Allah says to do during the month of Ramadan. And stick to what the Prophet Muhammad tells us to do, and stay away from what your grandmama, your great-grandmother, your uncle, or what that man down the street told you. Especially if they cannot produce any evidence. When somebody comes to you telling you something about this religion that you need to do or not do, you should ask them to show you their dalil, show you their evidence. If they cannot produce evidence from the Quran and the authentic sunnah to support what they say, then you don't pay them no attention. It doesn't matter if it's your great-grandmother. If she comes to you telling you that you are supposed to read the Fatiha every night and blow in your hand before you go to bed, she should be able to show you the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you are supposed to do this. If she can't, then you say, okay, Grandma Shukran, and you're going about your business. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us, he said, you will live to see great differences in this religion. So cling to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the rightly guided leaders after me, even if it be with your teeth. We had a person ask the question yesterday. They said, all these different sects, all these different groups, you got Shiites, you got Sufis, you got Ahmadiyyas, you got Quran aloners, you got Tabligh Jajuma, you got all these different sects and groups, you got Salafis, you got all these people who are Muslims, and who call themselves being a certain type of Muslim. And all of them are saying that their way is the right way. How does a new convert know which way is right? The Prophet tells you here, stick to the sunnah. Stick to his way. And stick to the way of the rightly guided leaders after him, who were Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali, and Uthman. Stick to what they did, and then you won't be confused. You'll never be misguided. So no matter how many different groups of Muslims emerge, no matter if everybody in your city, in your family, in your household is innovating, you stick to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did things, and you will be rightly guided. You'll never be confused. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad and do not innovate for what you have been commanded from Allah, and he is enough for you. And this is very important. Allah has given us enough commandments, and so has the Prophet Muhammad. Stick to obeying them and forget about what somebody else is telling you. Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah have mercy on him, said, every act of worship that the companions did not do, then you do not do it. In other words, you follow what they did. They were the best of all generation of Muslims. The first three generations of Muslims were the best of all Muslims, and they followed the Sunnah. They stuck to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and did. If you don't read anywhere where the Prophet said something or his companions did not say it, then you stay away from it too. So again, if your grandmother comes to you and tells you today is the Prophet Muhammad's birthday, let's go celebrate. You ask her, Grandma, where did the Prophet say we're supposed to celebrate his birthday? Or where did any of his companions do this? If she cannot produce the evidence, then you stay away from it. That's how simple this is. And this is how you do not become confused. Abu Aliya said, learn Islam. Then when you have learnt Islam, do not turn away from it to the right or to the left. But be upon the straight path and be upon the sunnah of your Prophet and that which his companions were upon. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, guys, we're supposed to be living our lives following the sunnah. The best example that Allah sent to us, which is the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he didn't do it, if his companions didn't do it, then you don't do it. If somebody comes to you and tells you that you're supposed to gather together in a group to read Quran on behalf of your dead uncle, you ask them, where's the evidence? Show me one authentic hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to do this. The Prophet lost many of his companions during his lifetime. He even lost his children. He buried his own daughters. He buried his own sons. Show me one authentic hadith, father or mother, whereas the Prophet gathered together with all the Muslims and read Quran on behalf of his dead daughters or his dead sons or any of his dead companions. And you tell them, or show me mother or father, where Umar or Abu Bakr or any of the companions did these things. If they cannot produce the evidence, then you toss it aside. That's how you know it's innovation. You toss it aside. You tell them, we don't care. I don't know yet, Sheikh Salim. I just woke up. So whatever you heard, I don't know yet. I have to check. I just woke up. I don't know yet. You heard this too, but they didn't see it. We have to see. I have to see. Oh, yeah, check it out. Just check around and see. I just woke up. I was hoping that Sheikh Morsi or Sheikh Adley or my brother, I got my sisters overseas, they'll call or something, but I just woke up. I got my cell phone turned on in case somebody calls. Man. Saudi Arabia. On the phone. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm waiting on my brother. My brother is in Egypt. And I was waiting to see if he would call me, but he hasn't called yet. Yeah, call in Egypt and see. Yeah, that'll be, because if they spotted the moon on Sunday, that'll be good. Yeah, call them and see. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, guys, we need to stick to the sunnah. This is how we stay away from all this innovation. Learn about our religion. Seek knowledge of your religion. Follow the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions. If your parents, your grandparents, your friends, or anybody else comes to you telling you to do something and they cannot show you evidence, whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any of his companions did it, then you stay away from it. Okay? Also, Allah tells us in the interpretation of the meaning, and whosoever does not contend with the messenger after guidance has been made clear to him and follows a way other than the way of the believers, we shall leave in the path he has chosen and land him in hell. And this was a question that a sister asked yesterday. She said, what about those people who innovate? They don't know that what they're doing is wrong. But when you come to them and you tell them that what they're doing is wrong, for example, you tell your grandmother grandmother. We don't go around gathering together reading Quran for dead people. We don't cook food for dead people. This is not from Islam. If you tell them this, what happens when you tell them they still choose to not listen? Well, then it's on them. As the law states right here, those who do not follow what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. So this is what you do for those people who still, once you reveal to them the truth of what Allah says or what His Messenger says, but they still continue to indulge in innovation, the sin is on them. And this is something else, too, I want to stress with everybody here. We have to understand that Allah makes Muslims, not you or me. Allah makes Muslims. Allah is the one who guides whom He wills to the straight path. If your mother and your father engage in acts of innovation, and you go to them and tell them what they're doing is wrong, it's innovation, then you fulfilled your duty. If they continue to indulge in these innovative ways, don't waste your time sitting there fighting with them, arguing with them, debating with them. The sin is on them, because Allah will guide to Islam whomever He chooses. Okay? And He's the one who makes Muslims, not you or me. Now, many people who innovate in this religion, they try to come up with useless arguments to justify what they do. And none of their arguments are correct, and they can all be broken down. For example, you'll find some people who come to you and who will tell you that some innovation is good. They'll say that there's nothing wrong with innovating in our religion if it's good. And they try to say that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, innovated with the Taraweeh prayer. Now, first of all, anyone who comes to you and tells you this is a person who has no true knowledge nor understanding of this religion. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly told us that every innovation is a sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said every innovation is a sin. Whoever innovates in this religion of ours, whatever is not a part of it, will have it rejected. So the Prophet said every innovation is a sin. He did not say anything about there being a good innovation or bidah hasana. All innovation is a sin, and all of it is misguidance, and all of it will take you to hell. And in regards to Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, Umar never innovated anything. He never innovated anything. First of all, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the people in Taraweeh prayer during the month of Ramadan in his lifetime. He did it several times. He didn't do it every day because he did not want the people to think that this was something that they had to do. So again, innovation means to introduce something new into this religion that was not introduced by Allah or His Messenger. So Umar did not introduce anything new because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the people together in Taraweeh prayer himself. So when people come to you trying to use that hadith as a means to justify innovating, these people are people who have no true knowledge, and they definitely have no understanding of this religion. Then you have some more people, innovators, who try to justify what they do by, again, misquoting another hadith. I tell you guys all the time that we have to really be careful. Really be careful about misquoting hadiths or reading hadiths and taking them totally out of their context. A lot of people will read the hadith that says, whoever starts in Islam a good practice, he gets the reward of it and the reward of all those who act on it. And whosoever starts in Islam an evil practice, he gets the evil of it and the evil of all those who do it. This hadith is authentic. It's from Sahih Muslim. A lot of these innovators will try to use this hadith to justify innovating in Islam. This is incorrect. The word practice used in this hadith must be understood in its linguistic sense, not its Sharia sense. Okay? What this hadith actually means, it refers to the opposite of introducing something new. This hadith becomes, first of all, it's addressing when the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day some people came to him wearing woolen garments, and he saw that they were in bad shape and in desperate need. So he urged the people to give these people some charity. The people were very slow to respond. And you could see from the look on his face that the Prophet was upset. Then one man stood up and he brought a package of silver and gave it to these poor people. And then another man followed after him, and another man followed after him, and then the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became happy. And that's when he said, whoever starts a good thing in Islam and others follow him, then it will be written for him the reward of him and those others too. That has nothing to do with talking about introducing something new. This is talking about doing something that's already been encouraged in Islam. These people did not innovate. They did not introduce the first acts of charity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has always encouraged us to be charitable with one another. So what this hadith refers to is acting on something that's already been introduced. This hadith is referring to renewing the sunnah, not destroying it. Renewing something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has practiced. So those people who try to use that hadith and take it out of context, these are people who are ignorant of their religion. They have no understanding of Islam. And they need to go learn the basics of their religion and realize what a sin it is to misquote hadith and misuse hadith, to take hadith out of the context in which they were meant. Okay? So thus we need to understand, guys, there is no justification for innovation. There is no such thing as good innovation. No matter how good it may feel, no matter how good it may look, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do it, or his companions did not do it, then you don't do it either. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, whatever brings us closest to Allah, he's told us how to get there, what to do to get there. Whatever brings us closest to hell, he's told us of that as well. Okay? So thus, I want to stop right here for today, because this is a lot of information for you guys to digest. I want you guys to think about this, and you can see why people like myself and Sheikh Atlee and Sheikh Morsi and others, how we take the sunnah so seriously. And you can see why a person like myself, it doesn't upset me when people go around saying I'm harsh and I'm mean. It doesn't upset me. Because again, Islam appears strange to those people who don't follow the sunnah. When you meet a person who does teach Islam and its truthfulness based on the Quran and sunnah, you're going to view that person as being strange. Of course I seem strange and harsh compared to these other people on the internet who sit here and tell you it's okay for you to disobey Allah. It's okay for you to innovate. And they pat you on the head and stroke you and tell you, it's okay, take your time. So of course I seem strange and harsh compared to them. Because remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Islam will end just as it begun. Whereas the Sunnah will appear strange when you find an actual person who's practicing Islam and its truthfulness and teaching it in its truthfulness, they seem strange. So this is why it doesn't bother me when people call me harsh, people call me mean. Oh, alhamdulillah. When you guys start telling me about that I'm so nice, and I'm so this, that's when I'm going to start checking myself. I will not check myself until people come to me telling me that I'm nice. And that, oh, Sister Layla, you make, oh, you're so nice. When you guys start telling me that, that's when I'm going to question me and wonder, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Because those who truly follow the Sunnah will appear to be strange. I'd rather be strange than be one that everybody loves and likes because she's so nice. Alright? Okay, so we'll stop right here for today and then tomorrow we'll continue. Tomorrow we're going to talk about common innovations. Common innovations that many people indulge in, and you would be shocked to find out that many things that you may have been taught to do from your parents or your grandparents or whatever, you would be shocked to find that many of these acts of worship are not acts of worship, but instead are innovative actions. So we'll stop right here for today. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.